This evening I thought we would take a look at a passage of Scripture that relatively familiar, but we'll kind of go at this from a different angle. And so what I'd like to do is first go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we'll read for our text, verse 41. This is the same passage where we were at last time, but we're going to take this from a different angle tonight. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Tonight I want us to consider a topic, the church before Pentecost. The church before Pentecost. As you study your Bible and as you study church history and church beginnings, oftentimes you'll come across people who will tell you that the church began at Pentecost. That just is not so. That is not true. And so tonight, I want us to consider the scriptural reasons why that the church began during the Lord's ministry while he was still on the earth. It did not begin at Pentecost, but began during our Lord's ministry while he was on the earth. And we'll look at some scriptures here. Anytime that you come across somebody who tells you something that is new, strange, or something that you've not heard before, understand that the burden of proof is not on you, but rather on them, especially if you pose the question right. And so you ask them, they come to you and tell you that the church began at Pentecost, you ask and say, "What scriptural evidence do you have for that?" And so then they have to show you why they believe that the church began at Pentecost. And once they show you what they believe, and they'll show you Acts chapter 2, and they'll kind of go through and explain to you why, then you can take the opportunity to tell them, "Well, here's scriptural reasons why it didn't." And we have plenty of them. First of all, we want to notice that in our text, it says that 3,000 souls were added. 3,000 souls were added. Now, I may not be the smartest preacher that ever looked at this passage, but if something is to be added, there must have been something pre-existing for it to have been added to. You see, the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Added unto who? Unto them. Well, we can go back and we can see what he's talking about. And if we go back in the book of Acts, we can find out. And so, if you go back into Acts chapter 1, and some of this may be new to some of the younger folks. Some of us that have been around, this is kind of a refresher, of course. But in Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. And so there were 120 people gathered together. What is that? That's when you have a group like that. Well, if you go back just a little bit before, in verse 4, he says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. They assembled. What is a church? A church is an assembly. We catch glimpses of this. A church being a local, called out assembly of baptized believers. And that's what we see happening here at the beginning of the book of Acts. That in chapter 1, they had 120 members. Not only that, but in that's what the 3,000 were added to, this 120 that were there. But if you go further down, and we pick up in verse 16 of Acts 1, we find Peter's message, and he preaches this message here. And he's talking about Judas. Listen to what he says. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alkadama, Alkadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, much one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So you see in this sermon that he preached, just kidding, that wasn't a sermon, was it? Well, then what was going on here? It was a business meeting. That's what it was. It wasn't a speech. It wasn't a sermon. It was a business meeting. That's what it was. Commentators have trouble with that. But it's a business meeting before Pentecost. A church business meeting. They had some business to take care of because Judas had done went and messed up really, really bad. He betrayed the Lord. He went out and hung himself. Peter was very blunt about it too. I can't think of any business meeting where I've been in where we talked about somebody's fallen headlong and burst in the midst and all his bowels gushing out. That's pretty intense stuff, but that's what happened. And someone needed to take his place. And so the church met. They had a business meeting. They voted. That's what that's talking about down there when it says they gave forth their lots. So we have a church business meeting before Pentecost right here in the book of Acts. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. You see, that's important. The church began with the apostles. Before Pentecost. So where do we go for the origin of the first church? Well, we got to look back to where in the world would there have been an organization of a church? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Now, I know some Baptists that are what I would call seaside Baptists. And I know some Baptists that are mountaintop Baptists. You see what I mean here? Some folks point to Luke chapter 4. We'll read verses 10 and 11. Some folks point to this. Chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. So it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Jesus begins to call out his disciples here with these fishermen. And he says to follow me, and they follow him. Says you're gonna be fishers of men. They forsake all and they follow him. Of course, a little later, we find him calling Matthew and the others, but we see the beginnings here. Some folks point to this as being the beginning of the church. Others say, well, it's in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. verses 12 through 16. Look at here. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. It came to pass in those days when he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So some folks say this is the start of the church. So that's why I say there's some mountain Baptists and some seaside Baptists. I won't get into big debates about it, but I will say that as long as you put the founding of the church before Pentecost, during his earthly ministry, that's fine. As long as you've got Jesus as the founder and the apostles as the charter members. Well, maybe you're right that it was in Luke chapter 5. Maybe you're right about Luke chapter 6. But either way, we have the church starting with the apostles during his earthly ministry. And it has to be that way. It has to be that way. Now, where I will argue is if you come and tell me that the church started at Pentecost or at Rome or in Geneva or in Germany or wherever, if it's not Jerusalem and if it's not during the Lord's earthly ministry, we got some problems. But during this time, we want to look at some more evidences of the church being before Pentecost. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, just about everybody agrees that this commission was given to the church. And I agree with that too. But if there's no church for it to be given to, how was it given before Pentecost? Notice, if you go back to verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we have the commission given to the church before Pentecost. That's a very good indication there must have been a church before Pentecost. In John chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, excuse me. In John 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So we find the church. Remember now, the commission's given. We find it. Someone else is baptizing. It wasn't the Lord. it was his disciples. And so we find someone else is baptized him before Pentecost. And it wasn't John the Baptist he's talking about. He's talking about his disciples. His disciples. Good indication that there must have been a church. In John chapter 13, John 13 and verse 29. John 13 and verse 29. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto them, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. The church had a treasure before Pentecost. The church's treasure, his name was Judas. He wasn't a very good treasure, but at the time nobody knew that, except for, of course, the Lord knew, but there were lessons to be had in all of that, and he had a purpose, but the church did have a treasure. That's what that means there, that he had the bag. In Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26. We already read about one of the ordinances of the church happening, baptism, there before Pentecost. But we read of another ordinance happening, and that is the Lord's Supper. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So we find that they met, they observed the Lord's Supper. This is, of course, one of the ordinances, one of two ordinances that the church has. The only time that it's recorded that Jesus sang a hymn, which was a fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament. But we have that before Pentecost. Probably one of the most clearest, I know that's not good English, most clearest, probably one of the clearest things that we find in the Scriptures has to do with discipline. Over in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, again, before Pentecost. Verses 15, 16, and 17. Look at what it says here. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. This would make absolutely no sense. This would be total nonsense if there were no church before Pentecost. But Jesus is telling them an order of the way things should be done when church discipline has to do with personal issues. And if it gets down to it, tell it to the church, he tells them. And if they don't want to listen, he says, if they neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man or a publican. In other words, that's when church exclusion takes place. Prior to Pentecost. In Mark chapter 13, of course there's a lot of different things that we could look at, but in Mark chapter 13 and verse 34, let's start with verse 32. He says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. What's that mean? Left his house. Well, I believe that's reference to his church. 1 Timothy 3. Just to kind of give you an idea there. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Again, a reference that we have prior to Pentecost of the church. Well, and then lastly, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Again, before Pentecost, listen to what Jesus says here. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is built upon Jesus Christ. He did the work before he left. He did not say that the church would later be built by somebody else. He didn't mean here that it would be built upon Peter. It wasn't to be built upon the reformers or anything like that. No, it was built upon Jesus. He started his church during his earthly ministry. That's what he did. And there's plenty of evidence right here in the scriptures to indicate that that's a fact. Praise God for his church. It's still in existence today. And will be until the time comes that he raptures his people up out of here. And I look forward to that time. But until then, may we be found faithful to our Lord and his word. May God add a blessing to the lesson today.